Job 38. Now, the question we kind of dealt with at the beginning of last week was, why would God allow this to happen to Job? Let me ask you this question. What do you think the point of the book of Job is? Why is it in the Bible? What is it there to teach us? Okay, bad things happen to good people. Okay, that's one. Okay, we're all tested. Okay. Patience. Endurance. Faith. Trust in the Lord. Why are you looking at me that way? I don't know if you got it from looking at especially this week's lesson. But I'll tell you one. Probably the main reason, I think it's in there. All those are good reasons. But I think one of the main reasons it's probably in there is to tell us to keep our trap shut. Because we are quick to jump on people and judge them and make assumptions about what's going on in their lives, and we don't have a clue. We don't know what's going on with other people. Right? So maybe one of the main reasons God put this in here is to tell us not to be so self-righteous. And I think I told y'all to go to the wrong part, didn't I? Job 32. Y'all didn't correct me when I was wrong. You didn't want to make assumptions and judge me, did you? But honestly, I think one of the greatest messages is to warn us against judging. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't judge. We've got to have judgment. We've got to be discerning. We have to be able to tell right from wrong, and we have that taught to us through scriptures. The characteristics of being a Christian and of knowing the Word of God are going to show us the difference of right and wrong, what is godly, what is biblical versus what isn't. But these friends of Job jumped on him with both feet. And when we get to Elihu and see it from another perspective, but it's really not much different, is it? Guys, we don't know what's going on in people's lives unless they tell us. And I can tell you because, you know, after all these years of counseling, I can tell you that people will only tell you what they want you to know. And so you still, even as much as they tell you, you don't know what's going on in someone's life. And we need to be careful about judging. Job gives us a great example of a man. The Bible said he was upright and escheweth evil. In other words, he was perfect. He was he did everything right. And I know that's hard for us to imagine, but that's the testimony of Scripture. He did everything right, and yet he was tried. Yet trouble came to his life. So no one is above it. No one is beyond pain. No one is beyond the trials of life. I do, remind you that the trials that come from God as a simple test of our faith are not as common as everyday life testing our faith. You know, when something happens to you, don't automatically assume that it's God doing it, that God is trying to prove something or test something. I really believe that the point of this book being in the Bible is to tell us, be careful how we judge people. Be careful the assumptions we make. We've probably all been wrongly judged. Wrong assumptions, whether we know it or not. Maybe they never told us what they thought. Maybe they told other people and it never got back to us. But people make wrong assumptions. And so just be cautious about the assumptions that we make. He says here in verse 1, these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. They couldn't convince him that he was wrong, so they just quit. They couldn't convince him that there was some sin that he is overlooking, so they gave up. They said, all right, well, we can't help you. What? How could they have helped him? They didn't believe anything he said, but I'll tell you how they could have helped him. When they got there and they sat with him and didn't say anything, that was helpful. They could have helped him rebuild his house, rebuild his barns, rebuild his you know, could have brought them some, gone to the market for them and gotten some more stock or whatever. They could have done something to help. Instead, they were just trying to dig in and figure out, you know, what caused it. Bad things happen to good people. Verse 2, then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barakal, the Buzite, kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled. So he's mad at Job. Why? What'd Job do to him? Why is he mad? He's mad because he thinks Job is being self-righteous. Because he thinks that Job can't, he's not being honest with himself about what kind of sin he's committed. Because the assumption of all four of these friends of Job is that nothing this bad happens unless you've really made God mad. Right? That's their assumption. You've really done something to make God mad. Or this wouldn't have happened to you. Because Job justified himself rather than God. He didn't just sing the praises of God. He talked about, hey, I've walked upright. I've done what I could. I've not done what I shouldn't do. Verse 3, also against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they found no answer and yet had condemned Job. We all aren't very smart, right? Y'all aren't very good at this. Y'all are supposed to, I mean, y'all are older than I am. You're supposed to be able to dig up dirt and get people to talk. And so he's mad at them. Sounds to me like Elihu was just an angry person, doesn't it to you? Verse 4, now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. Well, that's good. He should have done that. He should have waited his turn. But when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. He was angry and frustrated. And do you know people like that today? They're just angry and frustrated, mad at everybody, mad at everything. Let me give you some counsel. Stay away from people like that. And if you're one of those people, figure it out. Because it's tough to be all alone. Because nobody wants to be around you. Because you're so grouchy all the time. But that's Elihu. He's a young man. He's the young man. And yet he's mad at everybody. Well, let me give you a tip, Elihu. Go home. If it makes you mad to be here, go home. Right? But Elihu is mad. Verse 6, Elihu, the son of Barakal, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young and you're very old. Wherefore I was afraid and durst not show you mine opinion. Well, you should have held on to that thought, Elihu. Yeah, but do you ever do that? Let's be honest. Let's put ourselves in Elihu. Have you ever done that? Like you got something you want to say, and he gets to the point, he said, I was so full of my opinion I had to say something. But we do that, don't we? We get full of our opinion. In fact, how do we start to give that opinion? Well, I probably shouldn't say this, but you all heard me say that, right? I probably shouldn't say this, but. Then usually I was right. I shouldn't have said it. Even if it was right, even if it was true. Because let me ask you a question. What is Elihu going to add to Job? Is he going to encourage him? Is he going to help him? And yet they think, they really believe that if they could figure out what caused this, that would solve something. There's so many times I counsel people and we come down to this. And they say, well, if I just knew, and I look at them and I say, you don't want to know the answer to that. I know you think it will make you feel better, but it won't. And, you know, different circumstances. And yet we think if we just knew, it'd make us feel better. The same way that we think if we just had a dishwasher, we'd keep the kitchen clean. You know, people have there's something out there that's going to make me do better. No, you just need to do better. And by finding out, by getting the answer, it's not going to satisfy. you, it's not going to give you what you are looking for. Now again, they weren't helping Job. If they wanted to help Job, they should have comforted him. They should have, you know, feed him if that's what it takes. Comfort him if he's cold, warm him. But to just sit there and blast him and dig, and there's got to be something. What was really motivating them? Were they really so self-righteous and so wrapped up in themselves that they thought they were going to fix Job? Verse 7. I said, days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. So Elihu says, I figured if I just sat here and let y'all talk, sooner or later you'd teach me something because you're older than I am. But there is a spirit in a man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise. Now, how many of you know that's true? Just because we're older doesn't mean we're wiser, necessarily. Neither do the aged understand judgment. So now what's he doing? He's justifying himself. Why do I have a right to tell you what I believe? And he says, you're older, and I figured since you were older, you'd be able to teach me something. But I've sat here and listened to y'all. Y'all had solved the thing. So now I'm going to tell you, I'm getting my inspiration from the Almighty. I'm anointed from God, and I'm going to teach you something. Right? Is that what it says in the Pahokee translation? That's what it says. Because you might be old, but you're not wise, he says. Verse 11, behold, I waited for your words. I gave ear to your reasons whilst you searched out what to say. Verse 20, I will speak that I may be refreshed. And I'll tell you something, that tells the whole story right there. This is not about helping Job. It's about helping himself. It's about satisfying his own selfish desire to voice his opinion. And I'll tell you something, that's something we ought to pay attention to there. In all this, I don't want to criticize what anybody else got out of it, but there are ideas that these four friends had for Job that sound reasonable, that sound logical, and sound even spiritual. But I would not gather a morsel of their counsel, their advice, and take it to heart. None of it. Because what they were doing was driven by selfish ego and not by love and not by God. And old Job knew it. That's right. He didn't say, well, I'm sorry. Yeah, he knew it. Look, he searched his heart. How many of us, can right now identify some sin in our life. If somebody were to say, well, you've got sin in your life, we'd be able to go, yeah, I know what it is. How many of us? About some of y'all don't sin. Y'all ought to be up here teaching. But you see what I'm saying? We all have sin. We all have faults, failures, shortcomings. Whatever term you want to throw on it, we're not perfect and we know it. And Job, in his life, he looked in his life and he said, I don't know. What could it be? And he said, God, what is it? Tell me what it is. He was not able, like we are, to say, yeah, I've got some sin. Now, is it because he walked with God more closely than we do? Must be. Could we do better? How many of us think we could do better? We could all do better. But Job searched his heart. He looked in his life. I mean, he considered every corner of his life. And he said, I don't know what it is. How could it be? His friends show up with a list of sins and say, which one is it? Job goes through the list. He says, I don't have any of those in my life. Now you understand that's not really in there, but he couldn't come up with anything. He just said, something. I must have done something. And we've already established he hadn't done anything. He was walking with God. He was serving God. He was walking uprightly. In fact, the devil came at him and attacked him, calamity in one day. And as he started to recover from that, he hit him again. And then as he started to recover from that, the old devil sent some friends over to comfort him. Encouragers. Elihu says in verse 20, I will speak that I may be refreshed. Uh-uh. That's not how it works. But I'll tell you something. It's a problem we have in communication. We are. Almost every time we criticize somebody else, it's to make us feel better. I agree with that 100%. To refresh ourselves. I'm better than that. And go ahead. Right.
So then they go into this upright man that has walked with God and has nothing, no dirt or underwear. But they keep putting themselves in his place, saying, well, if it was me, I had to do something wrong. And they're just getting angry with Job because Job's not conforming to their opinion.
Because Job doesn't confess.
Yeah, nothing to confess, but they don't understand.
So if I think you did something wrong, and you don't confess to it, what do I think? Think you're a liar. Which makes me madder. Now, how many of us ever did that as, you know, parenting or over somebody and we thought they did it and we thought they're lying and then found out, well, they weren't lying, it wasn't them. That happens. But because we believe they did wrong, then when they don't confess to it, that makes us even madder. It's a good point. And that's what, yeah, that is what's happening here. And Elihu is criticizing Job and the other guys. Now he's top dog. Now he's smarter than everybody. Right? He thinks. Now he's superior. And he's got an opinion, and you're going to hear it. Why? Because it's going to help you. No, because it's going to make me feel better. Guys, we got to catch ourselves on it. Because a lot of times, especially when it comes to criticism, and especially when it comes to judging, it's really, we're not really trying to help them. We're not really trying to help anybody. We're just going to get it off our chest. Go ahead. Yeah, got to get off my... It is. And by the way, maybe you have someone, maybe it's your spouse or another friend or relative, one person that you go to and you just vent, that's fine. But when you vent to everybody, that's bad. That's gossip. If you have one person you vent to, that's okay because you got to, you know, you're getting it off your chest. And how many of us have ever... in the middle of saying something, realize how wrong we were for even saying it. It's brilliant when I think it. How can it ever be challenged or questioned? And then when you say it out loud, and you know, especially for me, when I pray about something, and if I want something or I think something needs to be, and so I pray about it, if I say it out loud, I get to the end of that and I say, look, never mind, Lord, I'm sorry I bothered you. Anybody else ever do that? Because in our minds, then the idea, but once we start talking it through, walking it through, we realize how, what's that? How dumb it was. I will speak that I may be refreshed. That's important. Important to note what's going on there. Skipping over, and if I miss something that you want to, because I won't backtrack, so if there's something I overlooked that you want to talk about, please say so. But in chapter 34 and verse 11, and here's the philosophy, or the theology, if you will, the work of a man shall God render unto him, and cause every man to find according to his ways. Now, that goes along with the biblical concept, the New Testament teaching of you reap what you sow, right? But how many of us have worked hard and not done as well as other people doing the same job? And so it's not always about your effort and not always about... And Solomon says time and opportunity. Timing and opportunity. What's that? Right? And it's who you know and your timing. There's so much involved. It's not just about hard work. Right? That's true too. Exactly. And so that has to do with it. What we're expecting to get out of it. But there's more to it than just effort. Equal effort does not always yield equal reward. Now, I'm not saying that to discourage you from giving equal effort. I believe in giving extra effort, more effort, doing more. But understand something. You won't necessarily get out of it what somebody else will get out of it, putting the same amount into it. It's just not the way it works. Even though, you know, conceptually, philosophically, theologically, we think that's how it should be. It's a good rule, but there are exceptions to the rule. Verse 34, chapter 34. Let men of understanding tell me. Let a wise man hearken unto me. Job has spoken without knowledge, and his words were without wisdom. My desire is that Job may be tried to the end because of his answers for wicked men. For he addeth rebellion unto his sin. He clappeth his hands among us and multiplieth his words against God. Elihu says, the truth is, I don't want Job to get out of this. I don't want Job to recover from this because I think Job's guilty of sin. And I've heard what he's had to say, and he's a rebel against God. A guest in Job's home. A friend. With a lack of discipline over his tongue. To even accuse Job of things that he has no evidence being true. No facts, just assumption. Just opinion. But he had to get it off his chest. That's right. That's right. Verse 16, chapter 35. Therefore doth Job open his mouth in vain and multiplieth words without knowledge. Remind me of something. This dumb man, Job, what was his position at the beginning of this book? He had an empire. Man, he had sons and daughters. I mean, family. They each had their homes. They, you know, so he had land. He had herds. He had flocks. He had everything. So for a dumb old dude like that, he was sure doing pretty well, wasn't he? Elihu hasn't won any points with me. Chapter 36, verse 17. But thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked. Judgment and justice take hold on thee. In other words, you got what you deserve, Job. Now, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I wouldn't be surprised to find out some of us have made that statement about people. They got what they deserve. Because, in our opinion, they did. But Elihu, here's the thing. Again, going back to the beginning, we don't know what's going on in people's hearts. We make a judgment about somebody, and we don't know. Years ago, my wife was given a purse as a gift. And somebody made the comment about the pastor's wife having such an expensive purse. Well, we didn't pay for it. I was given a watch, that watch that I used to wear. I've still got it. I had no idea the value of it. I just worked because it told time. And somebody made a comment. See, they didn't know I didn't pay for it. And people make assumptions and make judgments without knowing the backstory. And we should be cautious of that, careful of that. Not just when it comes of matter of money, but when it comes, like with Job's situation, of matter of tribulation, of trial. We don't know. You know, it'd be like judging somebody for not wearing a tie to church. But y'all know why Brother Terry didn't wear a tie to church when he preached. He couldn't tie it. Couldn't button his top button anymore. And yet people make assumptions and make judgments and have opinions. And we need to be careful about that. Because maybe there are some things we know, but we still don't know the extent of it. You know who I know the best? Me. And if I'm going to judge anybody and be tough on anybody, it ought to be me. Not on somebody else. Because I'm the only one who knows my prayer life and my study life and my walk with God. Brother Bill. Yeah. Well, and that really, going back to what did they expect to accomplish? What if at the end of all this it came out that Job was a thief? What did it solve? What would it have solved if they would have been able to pinpoint and identify that sin that they had in their mind? He must have done something to get all this to happen to him. So what if we could uncover it? What would it change? He's got 10 children that are dead. The buildings are blown down. The camels, everything's gone. All he's got is his wife at home, and she's not getting along with him right now. You know? So what does it solve by identifying what caused it? Makes them feel better. They're not friends, they're detectives. So I think that probably the biggest lesson I get out of the whole book of Job, yes, endurance, patience, bad things happen to good people, all the stuff that you said. But I think the biggest lesson I'm going to take away from this study is be careful about judging people. Be careful. And why do we need to understand what caused it? Let's figure out what we do from here to make it better. Let's figure out what we can do now to build Job up, to rebuild his life, to rebuild his family. What can we do to help him instead of just digging at the wound? And I think a lot of times we do that. And that's unfortunate. Do you have any other comments, questions, criticisms, Brother Leroy? Well, and it, going back to what Brother Rodney said, their culture was, this doesn't happen to you unless you've done something wrong. And so we're going to help you. We are your friends. We're going to help you by exposing this so you don't do it again. But I'm with you. And Job agreed with you. Job said, miserable comforters you are. It were better if you'd just stayed home, he said. So the word friends, we keep using it because that's the term that's used here. But they weren't very friendly. And I love that phrase that Job used. Y'all are miserable comforters. If being a nurse is your idea, you probably better pick another career because it's not good for you. I know it's a large book. And there's a lot of stuff in here that when we read the counsel of these guys, it seems logical. But I'm here to tell you, just because you had a flat tire doesn't mean, God was against you. Tornado wipes out your house. That doesn't mean God was trying to destroy you. Sinkhole opens up and swallows you. Doesn't mean it was a punishment of God. Could be. So that means when it happens to you, Rodney's going to come to your house and say, what'd you do? What'd you do? Right. So let's be friends. Let's be comforters. Let's be encouragers. And let's not try to needle in and discover the sins that have been covered up. Anything else? Good points. Good conversation. I don't know if his wife ever recovered. Well, here's the point, and that is the point. You never really recover from that. Thank God I've not lived that. But there are people in this room who have. And of those, that void is always there. That part that's missing. So no, never recover. But what was Job doing while his sons and daughters were, I don't really want to say partying, but while they were banqueting, how about that? They were living their lives, and maybe they were, doing things that weren't right, but what was Job doing? He was praying. He was making offerings to God. He was making sacrifices. So he was doing everything he could between him and the Lord to protect his children and to keep his children from doing wrong, just in case they had a bad thought. I mean, this is what it was with Job. Job did not accept the idea that, well, as long as I just think it and don't do it, it's okay. No. He said, I don't even want to think it. I don't want my kids to think it. I don't want it anywhere around me. I want to be honest, upright. That's the kind of man he was. So, I'm sure he had that confidence and was able to say, well, I mean, if they're gone, there's nothing I can do about it. And so I just trust the Lord with this outcome. But, yeah, I would say hard to recover from losing a child, much less 10. All right, let's take a break.